better than we know ourselves, whose presence never leaves us, and whose love for us never ceases.
This is our God. Let us worship together.
Instruct each of us. Now let's pray with confidence the prayer that the Lord taught us to pray.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom.
295 in this area.
Thank you.
know, this is a very simple meal, but it's a meal of great significance. We do this regularly because it reminds us, first of all, of the body of Christ, and that Christ gave his all. He died on the cross for us. And the cup represents, obviously, his blood that was shed for us. It says in Scripture, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, no forgiveness of sin. So in that, there is great significance. A simple meal, but very, very important. On that night when Jesus Christ was betrayed, he took bread. And he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take ye, do this in remembrance of me." And in a similar way, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Together we pray.
Thanks be to Christ for the bread of life and the cup of salvation.
Amen.
Let's give thanks as we take the offering this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity now to give. Lord, as we just observed, you gave us so much. Jesus Christ gave us his all by dying on the cross for our sins. And Lord, we pray that as we give back to you right now, that it would be a token of our thanks of all that you've done for us. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
And someday, all the
I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now it happened, as we went to pray, that a certain slave girl, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach us customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many strips on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Here ends the reading and hearing of God's holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Marie. Good to be here again today. Thanks for having me back. Thanks for Dennis having me back. Dennis is off doing whatever Dennis is doing today, or whatever that might be. But I'm glad to be here. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. And because it's been Mother's Day, I have my family here, thankfully. My beautiful wife, Kathy, who is the mother of our only son, Brian. Who is married to his wife, April, who is a wonderful mother to the three greatest grandkids in all the world. I'm sure I have some arguments out there, but my opinion's not exactly objective, but anyway. But we're glad that that you're all here. Being in the dark can be dangerous at times. I remember years ago, I pastored a church in Pennsylvania for 22 years, and I knew every nook and cranny of that church. Knew it so much so that I would never turn the lights on, even tonight. It might be completely dark, but I knew where I was going, so I never turned the lights on. And so I remember this particular night, and I just so happened to fly down the steps, through a set of double doors, went through our fellowship hall, out another set of double doors, headed to the men's restroom. Now, before I begin my story, I probably should tell you that the custodian that we had at the time had as her custom, whenever she would polish and wax the floors, she would open up the door and place a chair in front so no one would walk on her freshly waxed and polished floors. Some of you might know where I'm going with this. Back to my story. So that night, I went down the steps, through the set of double doors, through the fellowship hall, out of another set of double doors, went to push in the men's restroom door, and there was nothing there. And for 2 short seconds, I knew what it was like to fly. A swan dive over the chair onto the freshly polished and waxed floor. Being in the dark can sometimes be dangerous. And that's why I like the portion of scripture that we want to look at this morning, because it's a gem of a scripture. It's a wonderful portion of scripture, and the Holy Spirit, looping the author of Acts, is very careful to tell us that this incident you have any Bibles, follow me. You can open up to Acts chapter 16 this morning. But Acts chapter 16, what we have here is Paul and Silas sharing the word, sharing the testimony of Jesus Christ. And they were doing it in Philippi, and it was here that they met, you remember, Lydia, who was from Thyatira, a seller of purple, and she came to know the Lord. She was a believer in God, but she had never heard about Jesus Christ. She accepted Jesus Christ and all her household with her. They were baptized, and so there was a great work of God. And whenever God is doing a work, you can bet that Satan is not far behind. And that's what we find here. And if you look at verse 16, Maureen read it for us, but it says, once when they were going to the place of prayer, it says, we were met by a slave girl, which had a spirit of divination, or a spirit by which she could tell the future. And it says, she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. So she earned her owners a lot of money by doing what she did, by foretelling the future. So we have this girl who is demon influenced or demon possessed. And it's interesting, the next verse says, this girl followed Paul and the rest of us, Paul and Silas, and this is what she was shouting. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. Of all things, this demon-possessed girl, this girl who had a spirit of divination, continually, it says, we're saying, these men are men of the Most High God, and they are telling you the way to be saved. The next verse says that she did this for many days. Day after day, she kept doing this. And it says that Paul was troubled, or from New King James, it says Paul was annoyed. You know, it will annoy you when Satan helps you to preach your sermon. And that's kind of what she was doing. She did this day after day. And finally, Paul was so annoyed that he turned around and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, Spirit, come out of her. And that's exactly what happened. And immediately she received freedom. She was free of this demonic spirit. Good for her, but bad for her owners. Remember, it said that she earned her owners much money. Well, all of a sudden, the money dried up because she no longer was able to tell the future because she didn't have that demonic spirit. And this angered the owners so much that they dragged Paul and Silas before the magistrate into prison. They said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. So they dragged them into court on the trumped up charges. And then it says the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. So Paul and Silas were simply proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it kind of reminds me that commitment to Jesus Christ at times can bring inconvenience, suffering. I mean, it'd be nice to be an easy sermon if I could tell you, well, just be committed to Jesus Christ and you'll be blessed. Just be committed to Jesus Christ and you'll be popular. And that would be an easy sermon to preach, but it's not the whole truth. You know, if you're a secret agent Christian or just general about your faith, you know, you won't get in trouble. According to church, at least in this country, probably won't get you in trouble. Believing in God won't get you in trouble. Saying grace before a meal won't get you in trouble. Jesus Christ will get you in trouble. And that's what it did for Paul and Silas. So it says the crowd joined in this attack, and the magistrate ordered them to be stripped and beaten. It says after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully Upon receiving such orders, he put them into the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. So they were beaten, incarcerated, and put into the inner prison, which we would say dungeon. Now, I hope you don't think that jails today are like jails then. Jails then were dark, they were dirty, they were dingy, they were dreary. People died in prison. But it got worse. They put them in stocks, put their feet in stocks. In other words, put these wooden things around in chains so that they couldn't move. That's a bad day. I mean, what if you have to go to the restroom? The guard's not available. This was not a good day at all. So they were suffering because of their testimony for Jesus Christ. Now, following Christ should go against the status quo. Following Christ should change the way you live. If Christ doesn't affect your business or your ethics or the way you live, something is missing. So, following Christ, being committed to Christ, may cause some inconvenience and suffering. And we want to praise God during the good times, and we ought to. But you see, this passage we're looking at, what do you do when everything collapses around you? What do you do when the bottom falls out? You know, roosters only crow when the sun comes up. Roosters only crow during daylight. There's a lot of rooster Christians. Cock-a-doodle-doo. I've been blessed today. I got a new job. Nothing wrong with that. Praise God, I got a raise. I'm making more money. Nothing wrong with that. Thank the Lord, it wasn't cancer. Nothing wrong with that. You ought to bless the Lord at daylight. But the test of your faith is not when things are going good. The test of your faith is when difficulties arise. And that's why I like the beginning of verse 25. If you have your Bibles, the first few words, it says, about midnight. About midnight. Now, I can camp there a long time. Midnight is when it's dark outside. Midnight is when it is discouraging. Midnight is when you're depressed. Midnight is when everything is collapsing around you and there's no way out. Remember, they were in stocks. They couldn't move. Midnight is when you expect God to do one thing and he does quite another. Midnight is when you're trying to do the right thing, and yet it seems like everything wrong is happening. Midnight is when you're trying to do your best, only to seem to experience the worst. Midnight is when you're trying to stand for God, but it seems like the devil's winning. Midnight is when you're trusting God for a victory, and it seems like all there is defeat. Midnight is when there is no sunshine. Now, when the sun is shining, we ought to praise God. But let me assure you, midnight is coming. Everyone under the sound of my voice is headed toward midnight. You say, well, the sun's shining now. Everything's okay now. Just wait a few more hours. You see, no one escapes midnight because life just has its midnight. And you see, how you respond at midnight is the ultimate proof of what you think about God. Can I say that again? How you respond at midnight is the ultimate proof of what you think about God. Anybody can praise God when things are going good. Anyone can praise God during the daylight, when you're on the mountaintop. But God is very specific. Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was very specific in wanting us to know that this happens at midnight. God at midnight is because you know God is the God of midnight. He's the God of the daylight. But God is the God of midnight. You see, you praise God at midnight because nothing touches you until it goes through the hands of your husband. I mean, it doesn't mean you don't have questions. We have plenty of questions. But nothing touches us until it goes through His hands. So we read in verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were in the prison, obviously, but it says Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So what were they doing in this dark, dingy, dreary prison? They were having a hymn sing. They were praising God. They were worshiping God. They were connecting with God. Now, if you're not used to praising God during the daylight, it's going to be really pretty rough to praise Him at midnight. I mean, if I can't reach up to heaven when times are good, God is going to seem like He's a long way off. They were praying, they were singing, they were worshiping. You see, they were connecting with God. Most of us have cell phones, don't we? Lord have mercy, what do we ever do without cell phones? But you see, with a cell phone, I can connect with that which I cannot see. They might be 5 miles away, they might be 5,000 miles away. But you see, via the cell phone, I can connect to that which I cannot see. God has given us a cell phone. It's called praise. It's called worship. It's called praying. And through those things, we connect with someone we cannot see. We even sing those words occasionally, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. We cannot see God, we cannot see Him with our human eyes, but we can connect to Him through praise and worship. So when they praise God at midnight, we find out here that things begin to happen. In fact, let me say this morning that three things happen when you praise God at midnight. First one, it changes you. It changes you. It changed Paul and Silas. They were there in an unbelievable situation with possibly their life on the line, and they were praising God. God doesn't necessarily change your circumstances. We're going to look at that in just a moment. But He most certainly will change you. I wonder if we have anybody at midnight here tonight or this morning. Just wait. It's coming. Psalm 42:8 says, at night, God gives me a song. He says, God gives me a song at night. He gives us a song during the day, but it says specifically, He gives us a song at night. And you read the Psalms, and they're not all happy Psalms, are they? There's songs of stress. There's songs of struggle. There's songs of danger. David says, I'm in the miry pit. That's not bad. And he was downcast. His bones ached. He says, how long, Lord, am I going to be in this situation? But you know, as you read the Psalms, David keeps bouncing back, doesn't he? He says, yet will I praise him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I rejoice in the God of my salvation. When I was a boy, my parents bought me a punching bag. I know, can't you tell? But it was in the shape of a clap. Wide in the bottom, narrow at the top. Some of you probably had it. And, and I cut it. Bam! Boy, Christians are like tea bags. You know, a tea bag is pretty worthless until you put it in hot water, right? Christians are like tea bags. We're not worth much until we've been through some hot water. So, during midnight, at midnight, as you praise God at midnight, it can change you. But number two, it can also change your situation. Verse 26 says, suddenly means out of nowhere, unpredictably, unexpectedly. It says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Now it doesn't say that the prison was shaking. It says that the foundation was shaken. For the foundation to shake, it means the ground underneath the foundation has to shake. Man built the prison, but he didn't build the ground under the foundation. I don't care how many demons are controlling your prison, God controls the ground upon which it sits. And if the foundation is crumbling, that prison is going to tremble too. You know, it's interesting how a blacksmith makes a sword. He heats the steel up to 1800 degrees Fahrenheit, and then he pounds it, which both stretches it and shrinks it. At midnight, God wants to stretch your spiritual stamina and shrink your dependency upon yourself. At midnight, you can't work the stuff out yourself. So things begin to shake. That's how you know it's God. Because you can't help yourself. You can't fix it yourself. I wonder if anybody here has something in their life they can't fix. Probably all of us. Midnight is at the darkest time. But at midnight, we see God like we've never seen him before. At midnight, we see God work like we've never seen him before. So it changed them. Praising God at midnight can change you. It can change your circumstances. Then number three, it can change ours. Verse 25 says that as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, that there were others in the prison listening. Others were listening. Others wanted to see what they would do. Maybe people say, well, you can go into that Bellevue Christian Church for all those years. You can hear the word of God. You can tell everybody else what to do at midnight. But it was midnight for everybody there, it wasn't. But only two knew what to do at midnight. And verse 26 says that the chains fell off everybody. Paul and Silas were praising God, and this is kind of like overflow praise. Everybody's chain fell off. But then watch this. Verse 27 says, the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Now watch this. This gets sweet. He didn't see any hope. I mean, the Roman government was going to kill him for not keeping these prisoners incarcerated. I mean, how is he going to explain a localized earthquake? I mean, what do you mean the earthquake already struck your prison? Nobody else's house fell down. Nobody else's building fell down. What do you mean the earthquake just hit your prison? But you know, it tells us that sometimes at midnight, all we're going to do is die. That's all he wanted to do. But verse 28 says, when he said he wanted to kill himself, verse 28 says, but Paul shouted, don't harm yourself, because we are still here. Huh? Oh, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't, Paul. Come on, Paul. I mean, God set you free. You're supposed to get out of Dodge. You and Silas should head for the hills. After all, you got your blessing. God set you free. But see, Paul remembered that you are blessed to be a blessing. You are delivered to be a deliverer. God came through for you, and he expects you to come through for somebody else. 1,500 people died on the Titanic. 1,500 people didn't have to die on the Titanic. The reason 1,500 people died on the Titanic is that most of the lifeboats would not turn around and go back and pick anybody else up. Even though most of those lifeboats were only half full. Their attitude was, I got mine. I got my blessing. Out of the 20 lifeboats, only one turned around and said, let's go help somebody else out. You see, everybody wants their blessing at midnight. Everybody else wants their answer to their problems at midnight. But what God wants to know is, after you get yours, will you turn your boat around and help somebody else out? Another thing, verse 28 says, it says, we are all here. That means Paul. That means Silas. And the other prisoners who were listening. I mean, if my shackles fall off, I'm out of there. But you see, they said, if your God can do this, if your God is this powerful, we're going to hang here. It's safer here than out there. And we go and find how it impacted others. We don't have time this morning, but the next couple of verses, it says the jailer and all his family came to know the Lord. The power of praise at midnight. It will change you. It may change your circumstances. And it will certainly change yours. We've been to graduation ceremonies, haven't we? They're coming up here in a couple weeks. There are three regular honors that are given at any high school graduation. There are those who graduate cum laude. Cum laude means high praise. High praise for good grades. There are those who graduate magna cum laude, which means great praise or higher praise for higher grades. And then there are those who graduate summa cum laude. That's highest praise. That's top of the class. That's A-plus students. How are you going to graduate about midnight? Today we probably have some cum laude Christians here who, during the good times, they praise God. When the sun comes up, they praise God. When they feel good, they praise God. When everything's going okay, they praise God. Cum laude, high praise. Maybe we have some magna cum laudes here this morning. They go a little further. Maybe they come to church regularly. Maybe they give a testimony for the Lord. Maybe they serve in some capacity, but they have higher praise. About midnight. About midnight. That's when the summa cum laudes come out. These are men and women who say none of this would have happened if God had not okayed it. The doctors say that it doesn't look good, but I'm going to praise God. I lost my job, but I'm going to praise Him anyhow. My mate isn't treating me well, but I'm still going to trust God. My kids aren't turning out too well, but I'm still going to give you glory. The people at work aren't treating me right, but that's okay. I'm going to say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's the summa cum laudes. I wonder if we have some summa cum laudes here this morning who serve him at midnight when things are down, give him glory. They don't understand why things are happening. Things aren't working out. They don't feel up to par, but they praise the Lord anyhow. Because at midnight, when you give God the glory, He will change you. He may change your circumstances, and He always changes others. Give Him glory you summa cum laude. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this portion of Scripture, so rich in so many ways. Lord, we thank you for the example of Paul and Silas. And Father, during that midnight hour, help us to turn our eyes upon you like we never have before. Lord, I pray that you would give us strength for the journey, strength for the battle. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is number 344. I have a song to talk to you.
Number 433, the first verse, Blessed be the tithe of us.